Let's talk about the Christmas gift for a few moments. Very obviously, as we've already talked about, Jesus coming as a baby, laying in a manger, was the original gift. But let's kind of look down through history, to get back to that point. We know that a Christmas gift is an important thing, and Christmas is an important thing in the life of the Christian, but our culture has made it something entirely different, hasn't it? I mean, some things are good, some things are not so good. We won't get into the negative, but as we have already talked about, everybody enjoys the gift-giving part of it. And most of that started out with the Catholic monk by the name of Saint Nicholas. Go figure. Saint Nicholas, 280 AD. And this particular guy gave away his wealth, his inheritance, and everything he had to help the poor, people who just didn't have anything. Of course, our modern-day concept of Santa Claus, guess whose name he carries? Saint Nicholas. So it carries on a tradition, and I must admit that it is a good tradition. But as I said, the gift of giving, or the concept of giving, goes way back past Saint Nicholas. We all know that God gave humanity the best gift in the person of Jesus Christ. And His life has changed and blessed more people than any other gift, person, thing, idea, culture. He is far and above more effective in the life of humanity than anything else. You remember earlier in this year, we looked at some statistics. Some number crunchers and computer guys run an algorithm to try to come up with the most influential person in all of history. And they weren't Christians, so they got a real big shock when their answer came out. Jesus Christ. They tried to even explain it away, like maybe it was a mistake in the algorithm. But after they checked it out, they found out that Jesus was the most influential person who ever lived. Hey, and we call Him Savior. So we're on to something here. But anyway, Jesus came. We know that He was laid in a manger. He grew up to become an itinerant preacher. He went around His small world, touching lives and giving them things that they would not have otherwise been able to have. Oh yeah, we know that He provided salvation, but He gave them more than salvation, so we won't look on the spiritual, let's look on the physical part, differences that He made in people's lives. Well, the first one was the first miracle. Can anybody tell me about the first miracle? Water to wine and wedding in Cana. Well, look at this just real quick. Jesus and His disciples were invited by Mary to come along to this wedding. And in the tradition of the Jews, you have some wine around and everybody has a good time with their wine. But there was a miscalculation somewhere along the way. And it was catastrophic. Hosts don't make that kind of miscalculation. They were getting ready to lose face in the community. Mary told Jesus, "Can you help?" He said, "My time is not now." And she looks at the servant and says, "Do whatever he tells you to do." She didn't take no for an answer. Moms are that way. So Jesus said, "Pour some water in a pot," and He turned the water into wine. What He actually did, He allowed that Jewish host to save face in the community. He gave something tangible back to them. Yes, the miracle of the water to wine, but He allowed them their integrity to remain intact. That's what Jesus did. He touched lives. He helped people. But there was another person. You all know the story of the woman at the well, but let's just look at that for just a moment. Jesus made a disciple to go through a place that no self-respecting Jew would ever go to. He wanted to go through Samaria. Well, why would a Jew want to go through Samaria? Well, let's look and see. Jesus' disciples go there. They sit down in the well because Jesus knew this woman, this outcast in her community, was going to show up. He began talking to her and he broke through all kinds of cultural no-nos and taboos to talk to this woman. And in his conversation with her, he pointed out her most painful secret. And that was, is the man that she's living with is not her husband. She's had five other husbands. He didn't do that to embarrass her. Nobody else was around, so they didn't hear the conversation. But he did it to have an opportunity to reveal to her, this outcast from society, who he was, the Jewish Messiah. And it changed her life. This woman, who was an outcast of society, he touched her, changed her life. See, that's what Jesus does. He gives people's lives back to them. Yeah, we know the spiritual part, but there's more to it than the spiritual part. He helps people. He heals people. He encourages people. He blesses people. He is the ultimate gift giver. There was another woman. This kind of sounds... This woman was in a difficult situation. One time Jesus was teaching with his disciples, and I think it was early in the morning, and then all of a sudden, here comes these men dragging this woman into the crowd and throws him at Jesus' feet and said, this woman was found in adultery. In the very act. I could ask a few questions about that, but I won't go there. But anyway, in the very act, so she was condemned, convicted, justly so, and she was guilty, deserving of stoning. She's dead, basically. Pharisees says, God says to stone somebody like this. What do you say, Jesus? And I love his response. He reaches down and writes in the sand. And he looks at him and says, he of you who you don't have any sin in your life, go ahead, throw the first rock. They all drop the rocks and walk away. Jesus looks at her. Woman, where's all those people that were accusing you? She said, I don't know, they're gone. Jesus says, I don't condemn you either. Now go and don't do it again. Do you see the gift, the remarkable gift he gave to her? She was hopeless. She was convicted. She sinned. She was caught red-handed. She was going to die. But Jesus says, I don't condemn you. Go, you're free. Just don't do it again. What a gift. But again, that's what Jesus does. He gives gifts to people. I mean, we could go on and on and on, but I won't take the time about this. You probably wouldn't like it if I was here for an hour and a half speaking today. So I would probably be by myself if that took place. So. But we also know that Jesus reached out and touched lepers, people that, again, were outcasts, rejects from society. They had to holler, unclean. People weren't supposed to come around. What did Jesus do? He touched them, healed them, gave them their lives back, gave them everything. Nobody else could do that, and he gave their lives back. I think of the wild man of the Gadarenes. Interesting character. Going through the tombs at night, everything's dark. I don't think I would want to be around the tombs with him there at night. And they tried to put chains on him, but he had superhuman strength and he could break every chain. He's not a man you'd want to have over for tea, I don't think. At least in this state. And he came up to Jesus. After his meeting with Jesus, we find this man clothed, seated, in his right mind. And Jesus cleans him up, sends him home to his family. He gave his life back. What a gift. What an amazing gift. You see, Jesus does that. He's talking to non-Christian the other day, and he actually pointed out the fact that, you know, every time you hear God or Jesus, it's always used in a derogatory manner. And I said, I wonder why? Why? Why do people do that? He said, I don't know. But, you know, with a man like Jesus who did the things that he did, he changed so many people's lives and blessed so many people, why people can't understand that and respect him? Folks, he's a gift giver. He's a gift giver. But there's only a couple more people that I want to look at. One more big story. You know that Jesus was a good friend of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And you see, this was brothers and sisters, and Lazarus, being the man in this Jewish culture, he was the breadwinner for the family. And then one day he gets sick. The girls send a note over to Jesus, said he's sick. He may not last too long. Jesus hesitates. You know the story. He dies. Jesus shows up. He talks to the girls. They're all crying. He's listening to the mourners. Jesus shows his humanity where he himself weeps. And then he says, show me where you put him. Walks over to the grave or to the tomb and says, roll the stone back. Now they said, no, wait a minute. I think the King James says, by now he stinketh. Yeah, I think so. But they roll the stone back, and Jesus stands back, lifts his voice to God and prays. And then he looks at the tomb and says, Lazarus, come out of there. Come forth. Out comes Lazarus with the grave clothes on. That would be highlights for CNN, I think. He says, turn him loose and let him go. Jesus gives Lazarus his life back. Now keep in mind, he just gave Mary and Martha their hope of existence because he was the breadwinner. Do you see the gift? I mean, we can spiritualize all this if you want to. It's easy to do. But these are real, legitimate, seeable gifts that Jesus gave to people. And he's still doing that today. And then we know the story. Because of what Jesus did with Lazarus, raising him from the dead, it kind of made the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, look kind of puny and weak. And they didn't like that at all. So they conspired to get rid of Jesus. So they had some meetings and they trumped up some charges against him, and they had him arrested and detained, and the Romans beat him. They made fun of him. They nailed him to a cross, and he died. Three days later, Jesus rose from the dead. I know this is not Easter, but it makes me want to sing, up from the grave he arose, you know. Comes from the grave, defeating death, hell, and the grave, right there forever. It's done, done deal. We know all those stories, but we'll talk more about that at Easter time, so make sure you're here, okay? But there was one other person that God gave a gift to that I want to talk about. You know the night before Jesus was crucified? There was this follower of his by the name of Peter. And Peter was standing out in the crowd, and three times people thought, "You're one of his lot, aren't you?" He said, "No, I don't know him." Next time, no, don't know the man. Third time, he cursed and said, "I don't know him." A follower of Jesus denied him, rejected him. Then Jesus was crucified. 3 days later, he comes up from the grave, and it's not too long that we find Jesus and Peter out next to the water, and they are confronted in a conversation for the first time. This man who denied and rejected Jesus, what would Jesus say? You think he'd tear strips off of him? He probably deserves it. You think he'd throw some sarcastic jokes at him? I reckon. He just challenged him, "Do you love me, Peter?" And he did that 3 times. Once Peter affirmed his love for Jesus, then Peter called him to lead the blossoming Christian church. Or Jesus called Peter to lead the blossoming Christian church. This loser to leader, Jesus gave his life back to him. But you see, that's what Jesus does. He gives people their lives back. He heals people. He lifts people up. He makes them brand new. He changes people's lives. He restores families. He does all this stuff. So in fact is, he is the gift giver. And he set an example in touching people's lives. And did he tell his disciples, "Now you go and do the same thing"? What are you talking about? And he even says, "Greater things than these shall you do." Huh? That's what he's given to us, is that opportunity. So he was the gift giver. Now he's given us that responsibility. So as we think about our Christmas gifts, I just want you to think back of the original gift, and that was God giving his son for us. I want you to think about that for a second. Why would God do that? Better still, why would Jesus leave his throne in heaven? Perfection for humanity? Worship and glory? To run around with 12, well, men, who really weren't the sharpest pencils in the box, and then to be crucified? By the Jews, the religious leaders that's supposed to be respecting God, they killed him? Why would he do that? Folks, he was willing to suffer all of that for you and me, the greatest gift he could give. So at Christmas time, when we receive our gifts and think about our gifts, let's think back to the gifts that Jesus gave others and the gifts that Jesus gave us. For about 2 minutes, 3 minutes, what is something the Lord has given you, blessed you with, that you would just like to say thank you for? Good health. Thank you. That's a big one right there. That's good. What's that? Family. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Somebody else? Mm-hmm.
Every
That's an important one, isn't it, Jim? We are blessed beyond measure here. Blessed beyond measure. So find somewhere today. Spend time with the Lord. Just tell Him thank you, okay? On this Christmas day, what a better thing to do on the day we choose to celebrate His birthday. So just tell Him how much you love Him. Please stand. Oh, come, let us adore You. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. For He alone is worthy. For He alone is worthy. For He alone is worthy. Christ the Lord. Have a wonderful Christmas day. Enjoy your family and your food. Just have a great day. We'll see you later next weekend. Thank you for coming.